Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, just opportunity to be in church. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 6, Judges in chapter 6, as we continue on our study on Wednesday night on the life of Gideon, on the life of Gideon. We've already studied several things about the life of Gideon, even before we have been introduced to Gideon, and just understanding what has been preparing him for this particular call of God upon his life, what's taken place in the land that he was raised in, and all the different things, knowing that God had put him in the Hebrews Hall of Faith, and so he's a man that we need to look to and learn from concerning his faith. And so last week we studied that they had been under the oppression of the Midianites for 7 years, 7 years, and then Israel finally turns back to God. And the first thing that God does is he sends a prophet. He sends a prophet. If they're going to repent, they need to know what they are repenting of. And it was the prophet who would go to them and let them know and preach as to what their sins were and what they needed to do to repent and to be reconciled to a heavenly Father. And so we find that's where we was at last week, studying down to verse 10. Tonight we're looking at verse 11. Hopefully we're going to get all the way through to verse 16 tonight. So go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Before we start reading tonight, you have to remind yourself where you're at. You're in church. And you have made it thus far. That's half of the battle, is getting to church as you have the opportunity to be in church. But that's only half the battle. The other half of the battle is to make sure that we remain open to what God has for us tonight. And we always want to encourage you when you come to church. Always prepare yourself by asking God to speak to you as you have need to be spoken to. And so tonight, let's put everything else out of our hearts and our minds. There'll be plenty of time after services to deal with all those things. And let's just focus on what God has for us tonight, okay? So Judges chapter 6, verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertaineth unto Joash, the Abi, or Ezrite. And his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in church tonight, for everyone that's taken advantage of that and that is here. You know exactly who's here and what's represented here tonight and the needs of the people. I just pray, God, as we have already been ministered to just by being in church and the music, but now as we look into this Bible character of Gideon that you've given to us, I pray that as we study what you have revealed to us through your word, that you would just speak to us and that we would learn from these biblical principles and be strengthened by them. Pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we find here the God's call of Gideon. God's call of Gideon, and it would be the turning point of Gideon's life. It'd be the turning point. As we started out this series, it was God can take a nobody and use him to do some amazing things. Cause him to be the judge that would deliver the nation of Israel from a seemingly nobody to a deliverer of the nation of Israel. And now we're looking right here in chapter 6, and we find this is God's call of Gideon. And we'll see a little bit about how it turns his life around. First of all, we want to see who Gideon was when God called out to him. The very first thing that the Bible reveals to us about Gideon is that he was hiding from the Midianites. And he was trying to salvage some of the harvest that he had planted and seen to grow, because for 7 years the Midianites had been coming in and stealing away the harvest of Israel. Now, this is what we studied the last couple weeks, is that God judged them by taking away their joy. Can I tell you that the hard part is getting out and plowing the fields and planting the seed and doing everything they need to do to lead up to harvest. Harvest time in Israel, as in anywhere around the world, is a time to rejoice because all your hard work is paid off. And now you get to go out and harvest the wheat and whatever it is that they had planted. It was a time of plenty. It was a time of rejoicing. And for 7 years, the Midianites had allowed them to plant their fields and allowed them to do all the work. But then they would come in during the harvest time and they would plunder the land. They would take all of the anything that was useful in the land, and they would leave the Israelites having to flee to the rocks and flee to the caves. And they would have done all that work for 7 years, and they never one time was able to rejoice in harvest time. And that was God's judgment upon Israel because of their turning away from him. God knows how to judge, and we studied that last week. God knows exactly what it's going to take to get us to turn around, and he knows what it takes to get us to look back to him. But for 7 years, they could have done it after the first year, but they went through this for 7 years under the oppression of the Midianites. No joy. No joy, no harvest. And so now we find that the nation of Israel actually cried out to God. We don't know how many cried out, how many it would take for God to deliver the land and bring a deliverer back into the land to overcome the Midianites. But they had cried out to God, and God sends a prophet. And then he introduces us to the man that God's going to call to be the deliverer of his people, Gideon. He was a seemingly nobody. For 7 years, he had been doing exactly what he was doing here, thinking it was going to be different next time. And so this has been the seventh year, possibly, and Gideon had done all the work, and he knew that they were going to come. He probably cut it just a little bit early there. He harvested it a little bit early, and he knew that they were going to come, and they were going to plunder the land. They would steal it from him if they could find it. So he was hiding it, and he was threshing the wheat among the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. That tells us quite a bit about where Gideon was. It didn't look like a mighty man of valor hiding from the Midianites. It didn't look like a victorious man as he continued to do this, and this would be at least the seventh year that it had taken place. Gideon was found hiding from the Midianites, no doubt feeling defeated. Feeling defeated. And he was antsy. No doubt he was looking around because he had done it before. He knew that they were coming, and he knew that they were going to take away his harvest. And he was trying to do everything he could to be able to keep some of the harvest of the wheat. And he was feeling defeated. I don't know if you remember that whenever the Sports Center, they would advertise the Olympics, and they would have the skier coming down the ski ramp and falling off the edge of the ski ramp, and the agony of defeat. To think that they had prepared their whole life for this Olympic trial, this Olympic championship. They had prepared everything and they didn't even get off the ramp. How defeated could you be? The thrill of victory or the agony of defeat? I don't know about you, but I'm always wanting to feel the thrill of victory. I don't like losing. I don't like the feeling that losing brings to me. Amen? Defeated. You were defeated. You got beat. Yeah. Somebody said, you know what? Somebody who loves to lose is a loser. Amen. He's a loser. You get used to losing. You're defeated. You'll never accomplish anything. You're used to never getting victory. Once you taste the thrill of victory, amen, you think, well, I want to continue that. I want to do whatever I need to do to continue to experience the thrill of victory. I want to prepare and I want to be the best that I can be at whatever I am competing in. Gideon was not experiencing the thrill of victory. He was hiding. He had had his joy taken away for at least 7 years. He was just almost ready to just give in to it, but he had done it once again, and now he's hiding, trying to salvage what he can of his hard work. That's what the Bible says. He was hiding from the Midianites, threshing wheat so that they would not find him and take away his joy. That's when the angel came. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now, in verse 11, the Bible tells us, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak. The angel was already there. But Gideon had not noticed the angel because he was looking around looking for the Midianites. He was living in fear. He was defeated, living in fear. And the angel made him aware of his presence. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." You know, you always have somebody come up to you and say, "Hey, it's all right. You got beat this time, but once you go, you can come back stronger the next time. It's only a game." Yeah. It's only a game. I still have that feeling in my gut that I lost. I don't like that feeling. But you always have somebody, and I understand you need, it is only a game, and but the idea that I'm playing the game, if I didn't care if I was going to win or lose, I wouldn't play the game. I'd find something else to do that I either enjoyed or not. But the idea there, the angel of the Lord comes to him, he's feeling defeated. All these things have taken place. He's not feeling the thrill of victory, is what I want you to see here tonight. That's not how he was when God's call came upon his life. He was a seemingly nobody with no future. He saw himself as a failure. And God said to him, "Thou mighty man of valor." That went over his head to start with. I mean, he thought, well, somebody else must be behind me. He's not talking to me. And he responds by addressing what God said to start with. The Lord is with thee. That's what he responds to. Can I tell you, we're not always ready for what God has to say to us. But if you avail yourself to God, he'll tell you the truth. And if you can believe God, it will always benefit you. For the lost world, they don't want to see themselves as savior, as a sinners. If they listen to God, God will tell them, "You're a lost sinner. You deserve hell. You have a sin nature. Your thinking, your motives, everything about you is off because it's related to a sin nature. They don't want to hear what God, they're not, most people are not ready to hear from God, but if they would listen to God, they would see themselves as a sinner, and then he would say, I love you, I sent my son to die for you, and I want to give you a gift of everlasting life. If they would listen to God, I guarantee you it will benefit you because he'll always tell you the truth. Even if you're not ready to hear it, he'll tell you the truth. And if you accept the truth, then you can base the rest of your life upon what God has revealed to you. It'll make a difference in our lives. You might not want to be convicted of your sin, but realize that if you listen to God and let him convict you of that sin, it's that sin that might be holding you back from accomplishing what God has for you to accomplish. It's that thing that you have accepted in your life that you have blocked out from God. I don't want you to, this is, you can have everything else in my life. Leave me alone here. I'm not wanting to change this. I don't want you to address this in my life. You can address this and you can address this. I will not allow you to address this. Listen to me. That is what you need to have addressed. We're not always ready to listen to God, but we have need to listen to God. Every opportunity we have to listen to God, because God will tell you the truth. He'll convict you where you need to be convicted. He'll reveal things to you that you need to have revealed. And he'll help you. It really will. Gideon, not feeling a victor. Definitely not seeing himself as a mighty man of valor, hiding, trying to salvage a little bit of wheat from the enemy. Yeah. But Gideon's thinking is revealed in how he responded. In that moment, he heard the first few words, "The Lord is with thee." And he looked at his circumstances. He looked at his nation. And I believe there was a little bit of anger in his tone by what he said. Oh, my Lord, if you're telling me this, if, I don't believe it, but if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? He was at a place in his life where he was not thinking clearly. He was blinded. He was not feeling the thrill of victory. He was in the agony of defeat. And he's looking at it and saying, all right, why, if you say you're with me, then why is this happening to me? Why has this happened? Why has that happened? And why is everything going on that's going on? Why? And that's what a backslidden Christian or somebody that is not feeling the thrill of victory or seeing themselves as God wants you to see yourself the way that he sees you and your potential in life, and Satan is working to keep you in a negative frame of mind and always questioning everything about what God is doing. Why? Trying to tell the Lord, you're not with us. Not wanting to understand it. That's not why he said that. His attitude is, look where I'm at. Look, I'm hiding from the Midianites in my own land, in our own land. We're living in the rocks. For 7 years, they have stolen our joy, the joy of the harvest. We have not had anything to rejoice over for 7 years. And you tell me that you're with me. Yeah. He says, why? And then he says, where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of? We heard of what you did back in Egypt. And we heard of, we didn't experience, we just heard the preacher tell us about it. We've heard our parents talk about it. We've heard about all the prayers that have been answered. We've heard about all the miracles that you've done in the past. Where's my miracle? Where's your power in my life? Amen? This is the seemingly nobody who God sees, and as we continue to study his life, he ends up being the deliverer of Israel. He ends up being exactly who God said he was at that time. God saw it in him. He knew what he could be. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there to start with. Yeah. Why? Where is the miracles? Where is the answered prayers? Where is the evidence? Well, it's there. You're just blinded to it if you don't see it. And they come to the conclusion here. But now, whatever happened in the past, the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. That's my life. Forsaken of God, delivered into the hands of sinners. Wow. What an introduction to Gideon. We understand everything that's taking place around Gideon, but this is the first time that God has introduced us to this deliverer, this man Gideon. And this is Gideon's thinking. This is who he was at that time. This is what was going on in his mind. This was a loser. In his own mind, in his own sight. But God saw something much different. The spiritual truth of it was revealed by the prophet that went, but also if you look over in Isaiah, Isaiah tried to tell Israel the very same thing, that the prophet who God sent to tell them why it all happened to them, Isaiah makes it very clear. Now, let me just read this to you. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah the prophet said, told the children of God exactly the same thing with the prophet that went to the children of Israel under the control of the Midianites. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not. Not that he can't, but because of what you've done, he will not hear. Now that was what the prophet would have went, and that's what the prophet would have told the inhabitants of Judah at this time. That's a spiritual truth. But in the flesh, we will always have carnal thinking. And the flesh will always have carnal thinking. Gideon hadn't learned to overcome the carnal mindset of life, to look to the spiritual as God would have him to look to the spiritual. The spiritual was, God says, you're a mighty man of valor. That was a spiritual sight. Romans chapter 5, look there with me. Brother Rich, would you check this heater over there? That thing probably is going, it's getting a little bit too hot in here, way too hot in here, I can tell it, because you're getting ready to go to sleep on me. I don't want that. And sometimes that thermostat over there gets stuck and the heat just keeps pouring out, and we don't need that tonight. So Romans chapter 8. This is what Gideon said, but can I tell you that Gideon was speaking out of a carnal mindset? And many times we speak out of a carnal mindset when we question God. We question God's, the reality of God. We question God's love for us. We question God's provisions for us. We question why this happens and why that happens. Can I tell you, most of the time, it's because of a carnal mindset. If you were thinking spiritually and allowing the Spirit of God to direct your thoughts, you would agree with God and understand that what God sees is reality as far as Gideon was the mighty man of valor. But after everything he had went through and all the different things that happened, he did not see himself. Satan had kept him down, and Satan was blinding him to the potential that he had. Everybody following me? So look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. We got to guard from doing this right here. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Are you minding the things of this flesh? Are you minding the things of the Spirit? Are you listening to the voice of the carnality, which with the devil is that voice? Or are you listening to the voice of the Spirit of God? For to be carnally minded is death. Loser. A life filled of losing. Never the thrill of victory. Never the joy of the Lord. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're not saved, if you're not yielding to the Spirit of God and looking to see what God has to say, then you cannot please God, and your thinking will be motivated by carnality. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, just to take it to another verse, look back before Paul wrote that, look in chapter 7, leading up to this. This is something we can all remember and relate to. Paul says in chapter 7 and verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So it's two different things here. I've got the laws and the spirituality of God, and I've got the carnality of my human flesh. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Did you understand that? I think it was written in a way that would confuse all of us. Because that's how sometimes we're living our lives. I go through the motions, but I ask, why am I doing this? I come to church, and sometimes I don't plug in. It's not that the help wasn't available, it's that I wasn't plugged into wanting the help. My life is just back and forth and going up and down and in and out. And that's Gideon. That's Gideon. Now, in that moment of time, God spoke to him, but he wasn't listening or ready to believe he was a mighty man of valor. He got stuck on this idea, the Lord is with you. Is he with me? You question that? When you're going through some tough times, are you questioning that? Is it something that is a mindset of the flesh? Yeah. Even the most spiritual will battle the influences of the flesh. Go back with me, because something I want you to see, this is powerful, this next thought here. So wake up and listen to this one if you haven't heard the rest. God did not address Gideon's comments. Now, if that was somebody coming to me and said all those things, I'd want to sit down and go through a Bible study on how you can know that God's presence is there, how you can know this. And you go through and you try to explain it all to them, try to get them right thinking, and it's going to take hours upon hours and counsel after counsel to try to change that mindset. God didn't even address it. It's right here. Look right here. Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this. Now we need to know what this is, and I'm going to share that with you in a minute. Thy might, it's going to be your strength. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Even after he would say all those things, God is still going to use him? After he reveals a carnality of his questioning God and all the different things, it doesn't seem right unless you read it and know what God says. The Bible says the Lord looked upon him. When God looks upon us, he sees what we cannot see. If you told me that, then that's all I have to go by. Now I'm thinking, you've told me that, so that means you have this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. And I, as a counselor, you learn how to, if it's this problem, you go here. If it's that problem, you go here. If they got this going on, they need this. If this is going on, they need this. Because all you can go by is what you are told and what you are able to kind of see yourself a little bit, but I cannot look upon man as God looks upon man. Can I tell you, God looked at Gideon and seen all this as superfluous. It seen this, it was just the top layer. It was something that was not really in his heart. This was the result of 7 years of lack of no joy, 7 years of not rejoicing. It was 7 years of living in fear, 7 years of being defeated, never having won victory. And he saw that it wasn't really in his heart. In his heart, he was a man of valor, a mighty man of valor. First Samuel chapter 16. God had sent Samuel to anoint the next king of Israel. All these sons were brought before him, Jesse's sons. And they said, surely this one, because he's the biggest. Surely this one, because everyone look at him and say, well, he needs to be the next king. Look at the muscles. Look at his stature. Look at everything this man has to offer God. And the Bible gives us a verse here that helps us and ought to help us. In verse 7 it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, his outward appearance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, But the Lord looketh on the heart. I wish I could see what God sees in counseling. I would be able to help so much better. Because you realize sometimes you get way into counsel before you find out they've been lying to you the whole time. You can't help somebody that doesn't tell you the truth, that's not honest with you. But God saw exactly what was the person of Gideon. He saw him for who he was. See, God is only concerned about our appearance as it applies to our testimony to man. If all of us could see all of everyone else's heart, you wouldn't have to worry about appearances. Yeah. But we can't. So God is only concerned about our appearance as it applies to our testimony to man. Your appearance is a testimony to others. That's why, since they cannot see your heart, that's all they see. And that's why that is so critically important. How is our outer testimony? How is our associations? The world does not see into your heart to see that you're saved. The world doesn't see in your heart to see if you're backslidden. The world doesn't see. The world sees you and you claim to be a Christian. Is that representing Christ? Is what you're associated with, is it representing the one that you're an ambassador to? Is how we dress, is how we talk, is how we live, our appearance? Can I tell you, God doesn't, because he sees the heart, but we can't see each other. So all we see is the outward appearance. And that's why it's so critically important that we have a testimony in our appearance and our associations to others. Amen. Yeah. Because it sends a right message or a wrong message every time somebody looks at you. It sends a right message or a wrong message. Go back with me. Gotta wind it up here. The Lord looked upon him. And so when he looked upon him, he didn't address all this surface stuff that was just frustration. And he tells him again who he is and what God is going to do with him. Because he says in verse 14, back over in Judges chapter 6, the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this." What is this? It's his strength. It's his might. Go in this, what God had already told him, what God had revealed to him. You're a mighty man of valor. You have to believe what I see in you. You have to believe what I tell you. You might not think you can do it. I wouldn't have called you if you couldn't do it. You're not ready to hear what from God. And listen to me, God is not going to reveal something to you that you can't handle. God didn't even address what he said. He knew that that was not the main issue. The issue was he didn't see himself as he needed to see himself with God's help. And God says, go in this, thy might. This, you're a mighty man of valor. Not only am I with you, but you are a mighty man of valor. I have plans for your life. You're going to do some great and mighty things. If you just look to me and trust me, then you will deliver Israel from the Midianites. Something that you have been wanting to do for at least the last 7 years when you've been feeling defeated, having them come and steal your crop and all you could do is hide in the rocks. I'm giving you a chance to accomplish some great and mighty things. I love that. Because no matter who you are, if you have faith in God, God has plans for you. And His plans do not include defeats. Amen. His plans include victories. You might go through some battles and you might lose a couple battles, but you're going to win the war. Yeah. Thou shalt save Israel. That's what this is God's word. You're a mighty man of valor. I am with you. Thou shalt save Israel. Have not I sent thee? This was God's call of Gideon. Now Gideon forgot everything that he said in verse 13. Because Gideon now realizes, wow, you are real. Who am I to question you? If I'm going to do this, it's going to be a miracle coming from you. You have not forsaken us. You will never forsake us. That's the change now. From verse 13, God did not even address that. He revealed to him exactly what he was going to do. He looked upon him, and then Gideon responds back now, believing God. This was God's call on Gideon. He forgot all that he said in verse 13. The realization changed Gideon. And now he is humble before God and strong in God. And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I have saved Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. He's humbling himself. Can I tell you, when you realize it's not you, but it's God, that's when God can use you. When you humble yourself before God, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midians as one man. God's looking for men and women of faith who want to accomplish something for the cause of Christ. Today, anyone can have faith, and everyone in faith can have victories. In closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're done right here. Verse 26. Do you see yourself as defeated? You see yourself as not really able to accomplish a lot, maybe even as a seemingly nobody, with so many others having more talent, qualities, opportunities. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians 26 says this, For ye see your calling, brethren. It's the calling of God that makes us who we are. If God calls you, He will enable you to accomplish some great things, whatever that call would be. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That will make the difference in the rest of Gideon's life. Gideon is going to turn from a nobody who was used to defeat and became a loser in everything, not having any joy, into somebody that is going to go on the strength of God and become one of the most notable judges and deliverers of the nation of Israel. Gideon. I think we can all identify a little bit with the man Gideon. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Wow. So much there, but well, I think we can put ourselves there. Sometimes our carnal mind gets wandering in so many different directions, causes us to even question the existence of God. We might be going through some struggles and some hard times, and God sees all that. God knows it. He sees through the flesh, and He sees what's in our hearts. He sees what's in our spirit. He knows what we could do if we would just be sold out to Him. Gideon's going to get it. And he's going to sell out. He's going to start experiencing some great, great victories. And Gideon's a Bible character that we can all identify with. God's looking for those of faith who will look to Him. Anybody else? You need to make a decision tonight. Altar's open. Not going to have a musical invitation. I always have an invitation. That's right now. Father, we bow before You. We do love You, Lord. Thank You for this Bible character of Gideon that You have recorded for us to learn from his life. I pray that You would have met with us and spoken to us through this Bible study. And I pray, God, that we would all have a desire to live the victorious Christian life and to not give in to defeat. I pray that You would just help us to make applications wherever we need to make an application. As we get ready to dismiss tonight, I pray that You'd watch over us, get us all home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Jack.